Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
David's not the answer for David. And God's going to, because he loves us so much, is going to craft circumstances to ensure that I finally come to a realization that Jesus is all I need. Not just in my mind when I say amen when the preacher says that, but with my feet. In other words, when the hard time comes, he's the first place I go.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, Truth Seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Welcome aboard, Truth Seekers, to this edition, this week's broadcast. Welcome to Truth Infusion. My name is David Markham, and we are coming to you from deep underground in the hidden bunker at the Truth Infusion Studios. Just a joke. Here with me in the Truth Infusion studio this evening is the one and the only Mr. Chuck Mansell. Say hello to the folks.
How are you guys? It's good to be here.
It's always good to have Chuck in here with us. I hope that you've been with us these last couple of weeks because we're doing something that I know reaches out and touches everybody. And just by way of a 2-minute recap of what's been going on. First of all, let me say this. If you have not been with us, you don't want to miss this. We're working through a teaching series right here that we're entitling The Struggling Christian. And we don't necessarily mean that in a point your finger at somebody and say, boy, right, you're doing a bad job and you're struggling. That's not what we're really talking about. What we're referring to is the fact that everybody, and when I say everybody, Chuck, what do I mean by that?
Everybody.
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 Everybody comes through a struggling time of life, and this happens whether you're saved or not, whether you believe that there's a God or not.
That's right.
Struggle is a part of everyday life. There's a scripture that says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. I mean, life happens to everybody, but struggles are not just random acts of life.
That's
either.
Right.
Because what we discussed in the first week was the fact that before we come to Christ, if you belong to Christ, there was a period of your life, maybe just a few years, maybe decades, before you knew Him as your personal Lord and Savior, and you could identify with the fact that there was a lot of struggle that took place beforehand. So, Chuck, in just 30 seconds, recap what we were saying in that first show in this series, what that pre-salvation struggle was about.
Right, amen. This is what we know. If we don't know nothing about anybody, we know this. We know one thing about them. We know that everybody living and breathing, taking your next breath, everyone's struggling and going through trials and tribulations in this life. And before our salvation, pre-salvation, we struggle because God's wanting to get our attention. We're struggling, going through things so we can recognize our need for a Savior.
Yeah.
And that was what our first program was about, was the fact that we had to come to a point to where we seen that we were incapable and finally reached out and called out for a Savior. So before our salvation, we struggled and go through things so we could recognize we needed Christ.
Great. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think you have to think too hard about your past listener to recognize that that's the truth. It is the difficulties of life that brought you to Jesus. In fact, I just thought about a verse that said that, and this is speaking of the law, but the effects of, you know, us failing the law in sin, it says that the law was a schoolmaster.
That's right.
That drove us toward Christ.
That's right.
In Galatians. And then the second show comes about. And in the second show, we moved into our Christian walk, but began to talk about some of the struggle that we endure as saved folk in the beginning stages of our Christian walk with the Lord. And,
right.
and some of the reasons behind why we might have struggle in those beginning stages, and what, Chuck, kind of give them a little review on that too.
Well, this is obvious to everyone who comes to their salvation. They realize, if not at first, very quickly, that they're weak in their Christian walk. That God has to allow them to go through trials and tribulations, circumstances and situations in their life to strengthen them as a child of God. And we went to 1 Peter on that, and where Peter says, you know, in this, you know, you're gonna go through trials and tribulations, but these have come for, and mm-hmm. he gives you the reason for your faith, which is refined like gold, which perishes, that so your faith will be proved genuine, you know. So you struggle and you go through things after your salvation in the beginning stages. That sanctification is to strengthen you, for you to realize and understand that you're weak in a lot of areas. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of you that needs to come out.
And also, I guess to say to tag that is as much as in the beginning stages we have everything to work on, but in ways that never stops. Because the strengthening and the testing and the proving of our faith continues. One of these days it'll end when faith is no longer necessary and we see Jesus as he is.
Amen.
But until that day, that's going to happen. So two very applicable shows. They're not shows. The shows in this series are not a whole lot of high theory. This is very practical. This is everyday stuff. So that's why we're saying that everybody, no matter where you're at in your even if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're going to tie into what's being
said.
That's
right. Amen.
Okay, so here we are in the third installment here, and I'm going to say this, and then I want to pray and ask the Lord to bless this time, and then we'll get into it. But if we were to take one word to describe the show for today, Chuck, we were talking just leading into this, kind of getting our thoughts together, but I guess the word we kept coming back to is dependence.
Dependence, absolutely.
And so what we're going to talk about today is how God will use struggle to...
So we will be totally and completely dependent upon him in that struggle rather than ourselves or anyone else, that our dependence is totally and completely in him, that he will allow struggles to come in our life so we can recognize our incapabilities.
Yeah.
In light of his abilities.
Well said. Okay, let's pray about it, and then let's get into that. Heavenly Father, we do come to you, Lord, knowing that this is so much bigger than Chuck and myself. God, that you've got people literally all around the world that you are calling to hear what's being said in these next few moments. And so that being true, Lord, we need you so much. God, we've got to have you. We need the Holy Spirit to do what no man can do, that you would take your word, Lord, not our word, that you would take your word and you would rightly divide it and you would make it clear and easy to receive, and that you would uniquely mold it and fashion it to fit in the heart of every person that's listening. God, I pray that you would bless Chuck, that you would give him wisdom and anointing to do that. You would bless me with the same. But God, that we would be removed from the equation as Jesus Christ is glorified and the Holy Spirit goes to work. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so if we consider that the difficulties and the struggles that we're going through in our everyday life are not just happen chance, which they're not, and there's like you're prone to say a lot, there's no such thing as luck and just
coincidence
in our lives.
Chance,
it's all there for a reason. I would say this. There's two major areas or categories of why struggle is in the life of a Christian. It's either you've caused it upon yourself by perhaps maybe acting out in sin, and that just brings consequences, and you're going to have to deal with them sometimes.
That's right.
Or number two, and in a lot of cases, God has ordained this for your life.
That's right.
So if we look at the issues that come into our life, that God is the reason that they're there, and we look at them and the primary reason that they're there may be to help us understand dependence upon him. Chuck, what is a first scripture that's on your heart to unfold that?
Well, one of the main ones, and there's actually several that come to my mind, but one of the main ones I love is found in 2 Corinthians 1:8. And this is at a time where Paul just was speaking with the church, and he says, I want you guys not to be uninformed to why we struggled in the areas that we struggled.
Yeah.
I want to read that real quick, and then I guess we can expound on it a little bit.
Yes.
But this is what Paul is saying concerning the struggle. that he had been enduring. And this is what he says in 2 Corinthians. This is chapter 1, starting in verse 8. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia." He said, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure." He said, "So that we even despaired of life." He said, "Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death." But then he gives reasons. He said, "But this has happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead."
Yeah.
And I love that, because what he says, the reason this has come, he says, Paul even said, we even felt the sentence of death. He says, we thought we were even going to die. He said, but this has happened so we would not rely on ourselves, but rely on God. Yeah. And I believe that God allows circumstances and situations in our life, and we feel overwhelmed to the point to where we, even to the point of brokenness. To where we get to a point to where we say, I can't do it anymore. Yep. I can't. I give up. I throw my hands up. And he says, well, good. Mm-hmm. Finally. You get to that point to where you say, Lord, Paul even said, even to the point of death, that we stop depending on ourselves, because it's easy, David, and you know as well as I do, to depend on others, doctors, family, okay. And such in order. But God says, you know what? So overwhelming that the only thing you can do is look up and say, Lord, help me. You know, when the doctor says, you ain't got much time to live.
Yeah.
When someone just, you know, when all else has fell apart. And, you know, and unfortunately, David, there comes a time in our life that, you know, we get to that point. And the unfortunate thing about that is that sometimes we seek out and search out answers in so many other areas other yes. than him. But then he allows circumstances and situations to come to such a point to where we say, God, I need you. And I believe that's what Paul's talking about here. He says that we were so overwhelmed, even to the point of death. He said, but this has happened so we would not depend on ourselves, mm-hmm. but on God who even raises the dead. So I love that scripture.
Yeah, there's a fantastic scripture. There's a if I were to make this statement, if I were to say, Jesus is all I need. There's not a Christian that you could say that to that would not say amen.
Amen, right.
And agree with that. Because we know that is a true statement.
Amen.
I don't know that you can really be a Christian if you haven't come to a place where you realize that.
Right.
I mean, in essence, when we say be my Lord, you're saying you are what I need. So we would nod our head and say yes, amen. But the truth is, if that is not the way we react in every situation, in other words, if circumstances come that are bigger than us, we don't know what to do with, and our first reaction is to run to anything other than Christ
right.
for help and assistance in that area, then what we have just proved with our life is that while in our mind we say, yes, Jesus is everything I need, with our lifestyle, we haven't learned to live that yet.
That's right.
And so that's why I think one of the reasons, primarily what we're saying, the reason that God will continue to put things in our pathway that are difficulty, too big of a difficulty for us to handle with our own two hands, and say the first time that happens to me, Chuck, I run to you.
Right.
Chuck, I got to have your help. I need you to do this and this.
Right.
And God orchestrates circumstances so that you weren't able to help me with that. Well, now I know next time it happens, I can't go to Chuck.
That's right.
I got to go to somebody else. So this time it happens and I run to my wife and Jennifer can't help me. Maybe one by one, God starts weeding out areas of our life. We realize when I'm in these situations, I can't go here. More than likely, sooner or later, I'm going to start responding as God is my answer. Quicker,
right,
faster, right. more readily. And this is really, in essence, what we're talking about. God will continue to drop things into your pathway to cause you to weed out that none of this other stuff's going to work. And one of the biggest places we go to all too often is to ourself.
That's right.
I can do this. I can fix this. I got this.
We've been the problem for a long time.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, the one politician talking about Washington said, well, how's that been going for you anyways? You know, you need something new, something different. David's not the answer for David.
That's right.
And God's going to, because he loves us so much, is going to craft circumstances to ensure that I finally come to a realization that Jesus is all I need. Not just in my mind when I say amen when the preacher says
that's
that.
Right.
But with my feet.
That's
in
right.
other words, when the hard time comes, he's the first place I go.
That's right.
And Paul, in his life, boy, if anybody went through some stuff,
it was Paul.
Paul went through some stuff, and he obviously, there's so many scriptures where Paul points out his dependence on the Lord,
that's
and
right.
it came from the experiences that he went through.
Experiences, absolutely, and I believe that's exactly what he's talking about in 2 Corinthians 12. You know, when Paul starts talking about, you know, he had pleaded with the Lord three times to take this thorn.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubts in my mind that when God says, basically, Paul, I'm not taking it from you. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness.
Yeah.
And I believe without any doubts that it was through circumstances and situations that Paul went through as such, as that thorn, that he started saying, you know, that's why he even says, when I am weak, then I am strong, because my dependence is upon him. He said, I'll boast all the more in my weakness, because it's in my weakness that I see God as my strength,
yeah.
that I can depend on, reach out. And God says, you know what? I'm not going to take it from you, because Paul, it's with this thorn that you are enduring, with this thorn that you had, that you are closer to me. Why? Because it's through the brokenness of you calling out. You wouldn't be calling out to me mm-hmm. the ways that you're calling out to me apart from this thorn
yeah.
that you have in your side. He says, I'm not, but I tell you what I am going to do. My grace is sufficient for you. You're going to yeah. be okay.
Yes, amen.
But I'm not going to take that from you. But guess what? It's not going to overtake you neither.
Yeah.
I love that scripture, because it's just, it's there's so many things, situations in our life that we could call, you know, I don't know how many people say, well, that's your thorn. That's your, you know, there's circumstances, situations in our life
sure.
that we could call our thorn. But you know what? It keeps us in check. It keeps us,
yeah.
it keeps us closer to him. We're always seeking out and searching. Am I saying that God wants to just pour this on you and he's just going to allow you to suffer in that? But no, you know what? He said, my grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
You're all right.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
There would be, what's the point of grace if you don't know how to lean on it?
Right.
And that's what that thorn did for Paul. And as far as we know, scripturally, God never removed it from him. We're not told that. And maybe he did, but I know this. The day that he probably, if he did remove that thorn, whatever that was for Paul, if the day he removed it was the day that Paul didn't care if it was there or not anymore anyways.
That's right.
He was so dependent on God.
Oh, that's right.
That, and it says in that scripture that I asked God three times. And you know, Paul could pray a prayer. I bet it was a pretty awesome prayer to
right.
hear him cry out to the Lord and ask for that. And God at least three times said, no, but I'm going to give you something better. That's really
grace.
What he was saying.
That's right.
It's, you know, it wasn't he got that Paul got a second rate answer to the prayer. He got a better answer to the prayer.
He got the first rate answer.
Yeah, and when we cry out, God, deliver me, it's not that he's, you know, he's a good father.
That's right.
He knows, if the scripture says, if you as an earthly father know how to give good gifts, how much better do I know how to give? When we cry out for deliverance in circumstances and God says, no, I'm not delivering you out of that, it's not because I'm just going to dump something worse on you. No, he wants to give you something better than
that's
deliverance.
Right. That's right.
That's what a good father does.
That's right. And I believe that the scriptures, listen, that Paul had to realize that it was the strength of Christ that's getting him through that thorn that was in his side.
Yes.
It was the strength of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly the reasons why, David, we stand on scriptures such as the scripture says, I can do all things through what?
Christ.
Through Christ who strengthens mm-hmm. me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yeah.
And one of my favorites is and found in Ephesians 16, it says, be strong in the Lord in the power of what? His might,
yeah.
not your might. These are all scriptures that we walk around and stand on when we're what? When we're struggling,
mm-hmm.
when we're going through things. So we walk around on how many times, David, I've walked around, greater is he that is in me than is he that is
yeah.
well. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was realizing and I was seeing and understanding that it's only through the power of the Spirit of Christ that lives within
yeah.
me am I who I am today, and I cannot do it without him. And I believe that's exactly what Paul was talking about when he says, you know, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. It was him saying that it is through me, Paul, that you're going to get through this. Not through Paul, but it's through me. That's why we love scriptures like that. That's why we walk around and God allows us to see that it's only through the power of the Spirit that dwells and lives within us can we endure.
Yeah.
Can we get through the things that we're going through?
Yeah.
Only through the Spirit.
Absolutely. Let me give a personal example, and you can be thinking kind of where you want to go next, but just a personal illustration. I don't know, a lot of people out there may know, if you've listened to the program a whole lot, that I like to sing. It's a big part of my ministry. Been doing it since I was 4 years old. A lot of people may not know that, but we have a worship band, and I get to do some of that too. And I love singing for the Lord. There was a time in my life about the age 30, 31, when I got really sick, and a lot of things physically just went wrong. Thank the Lord he's fixed all that stuff. But during that time, one of the things that happened is I really began to struggle to sing. Just physically, in my throat, in my vocal folds, there was just it was inflammation and this difficulty, and this sickness had put an effect on my ability to sing. And I would sing for 10 minutes, and my voice would be worn out like I'd sung an hour and a half. And it just got to where leading worship on Sunday morning, I got to a place where I was literally, Chuck, praying this, God, if you don't do this today, I am not going to be able to do it.
Right.
I'll be holding on to this pulpit just to get through these songs. Because I was so physically tired and my voice was so weak at that point that I was struggling to that point. But I want to tell you something. Just like we're saying, just like we've the Lord's outlined in His Word, it demanded that I depended on the Lord for it.
Right.
And here's the other thing I know looking back. Not one time did I have to say, I can't do it today. Not one time did I tell the church, I'm too sick to lead today. Not one time did I tell a place that invited us to go, I'm sorry, I can't make it. Everything God had called me to do,
He gave me the grace
to perform it.
Amen.
But there was a period of time that I was literally, even in the middle of songs at times, praying, singing so people were hearing me sing, but in my spirit I was praying, Lord, help me. I don't know if I can finish this. But every time His grace was enough to make it happen. And that's a personal example, and it's temporary. Thank the Lord that I don't struggle like that now. But I understand what Paul was saying in some smaller way probably, but that is exactly how he did that for me.
And I got to tell you, David, there's exactly what you're talking about. There's circumstances and situations that when I felt a lot of anxiety about doing, it doesn't matter what it was, circumstances and situations, is whether it's bringing a message or whatever, when I felt that anxiety within me, I started, at that point in time, I started voicing those scriptures. I started claiming them out of my mouth.
Yes.
I can do all things. My dependence was on Him. And I said, Lord, just like you was just saying, if you don't do this, it's not going to get done. And that's exactly why I love them scriptures, David. All it is just showing our dependence upon Him, getting to a point in our life where we see that we can't do it. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. He said, we got to a point where we said, you know what? We felt the sentence of death.
Yeah.
And this happened so that we would not depend on ourselves, but depend on Christ. That's exactly what you're talking about, exactly what I'm talking about. And that's just circumstances and situations. That's real. That's life.
That's real life. I was thinking just now of Jesus, John, forget which chapter it is in John, but when he's talking about that he's the vine, and I'm the branches. And one of the comments he makes right there is, apart from me,
you can do nothing.
You can do nothing. That's, I mean, think about, you know how hard it is to get a man to a place of total dependence on someone else? Because we spend our whole life growing up trying to figure out how to be independent.
That's
and do it on our own and stand on our own 2 feet and all that stuff. And the truth is, when it comes to our relationship with Christ, Jesus said it out of His mouth. You can't do anything if I'm not doing it
through you.
And what this is all about, what the little circumstance and the struggle that you went through 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last month, what all these are adding up to is to get us to a place where we get up in the morning and the first thing we think about is, if you don't do this for me today, I'm going to fall flat on my face.
That's right. What an awesome place to be.
It's the place we've got to get to.
Yeah, and when we get to that point in our life, not that we have arrived, but like you said, I was brought up, be proud of what you do, depend on no man, take pride in the things. You know, these are things that you are embedded into you, not just men, but women as well. And that's very contrary to the Word of God. You know, the Word of God says that we are to be totally and completely without any doubts dependent on Him.
Mm-hmm.
If we get to that point in our life where we're dependent on ourselves, that we are so prideful and so arrogant that we don't depend on anyone, that's very contrary to what the Word of God, like you said in John 15:5, He says, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
He didn't say you could do everything, but He said nothing at all, period, without me.
Yeah. And so with all that being said, hopefully the Lord begins to reveal this to our spirit so that when certain kinds of struggles show up in our life, if we know that what I'm going through right now, it's not of my own hands. I didn't fail the Lord. I haven't fallen back into sin. I've not created a bad spot right here.
Right.
But this stuff happens to me. I know my God is ultimately in control of every moment of my life.
Right.
And so, Lord, if you've allowed this to come into my life, as big as this mountain may seem, God, help us get to a place where we don't have to clap and cheer necessarily, but there is a joy in knowing, like we kind of mentioned last week, that if God, you brought this on, that my dependence on you is growing, you're doing something with me, and Lord, if you'll just show me what you want me to do and how I'm supposed to handle this situation, what I'm going to learn, where I'm going to grow, God, I want to be more like Jesus, so let's roll. Let's
That's
do
right.
this.
And whatever that means, whatever that looks like,
yeah.
Because the sole purpose of us as children of God is to be conformed to the likeness of
Amen.
His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that takes a lot of dying to our flesh and dying to ourselves. And that's not easy for anyone to, like you said a while ago, we get to a place of total submission to the Lord. And that's what it's about. That's where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an everyday of telling yourself, guess what? No, dying to your flesh and submitting to the Lord. And so this is what I know. Our dependence upon God, God allows us to get to a place in our life to where things just seem overwhelmed. And you know what? A lot of people say, well, God allowed this, well, God caused this. I'm telling you that God will allow you to go through things so you'll be totally and completely get to a place where you're totally and completely depending yeah. and trusting on Him.
So for that person that's sitting in the car listening right now and we're just reading their mail, the Lord is, really, let's end with a moment of encouragement for them in that. And Chuck, we've got about a minute and a half. Would you just pray for that person that's in the middle of the struggle that they'll be able to just see what the Lord's doing
right.
and give them that encouragement?
Absolutely.
And let's end with what's praying for them.
Absolutely.
Do that.
Father God, thank you for this day and just the blessings of your many provisions, Lord. And I just want to lift up whoever it is, Father God. And you know, Lord, just hopefully there's a lot of whoever's out there right now, Father
right.
God, who's struggling and going through circumstances and situations where they just seem overwhelmed and they just do not know where to turn or what to do about this circumstance and situation. Lord, I pray, Father God, for the listener who's listening today, Father God, that if they heard something, that has really just said, you know what, that's me, that's
mm-hmm.
me, that they'll stop reaching out to themselves, to doctors, to whoever it is, whatever circumstance, that they'll totally and completely get to a point in their life where they look up to you and they say, Lord, I need you.
Amen.
I need you now. Lord, I just pray that you give them strength. And Father God, I just pray, Father God, that they get to a point in their life where they start looking through the Word of God to find scriptures that indicate who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them, and that they depend on nobody but the power of the Spirit. Those scriptures that we were talking about earlier. Greater is He that is in me. I can do all things through Christ. These are scriptures that indicate that they have to do it through the power of the Spirit, not in themselves. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We'll see you next week.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.